Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is the 24th of June. That, of course, is Monday. First day of the week on the way to Thursday, which may turn out to be one of the most consequential days in American political history, or it may be nothing at all. But I would bet on consequential, because the only thing that would make this nothing would be if Donald Trump walked into this debate Thursday evening and acted like a human being. Now, if he were to do that, he would do himself an enormous favor, and he would really put the country in tremendous jeopardy. Because I can tell you right now, and actually this is something that we said four and eight. If, when he was with Hillary Clinton, if he had acted like a human being, which he didn't, he'd have probably not lost that election by 3 million votes. I understand he won the Electoral College, but he lost by 3 million. Now, when he ran against Joe Biden, he lost by 7 million votes, and I am sure that a good part of that had to do with the fact that he walked into that studio and he couldn't act like a human being. If he were capable of doing this, if he could walk into that studio and act human, he would gain so many votes, and it really wouldn't matter what he says. Really, he could say almost anything, anything that's true. All he has to do is walk in there, be honest, and be composed, and he'll gain votes in a very serious way. Dangerous for the country, of course, but terrific for him. That's if he could do it. Now, I'm going to tell you this. He can't do it. And, you know, I was watching some of the clips today from 2020. And every time Joe Biden tried to talk, I mean, all he had to do was get in front of a microphone and start speaking, Trump would interfere. He would start asking crazy questions that had nothing to do with what Joe Biden was talking about. And he would make it impossible for there to be an actual debate, for a real conversation. All he did is help Joe Biden. He didn't help himself. But he did a great job of being insane. And actually, that's no problem because the man's insane. So he was able to easily get on that stage and act crazy. That was no difficulty at all for him. Biden's trying to answer a question. Trump is asking him things that had nothing to do with what was even going on in the debate. He was just jumping on him for nothing, which really was great for Joe Biden. Because if you remember what Joe Biden's response was, he said, "Shut up, man. I'm trying to talk." That's all he had to do. That's all he had to do. And Donald looked as insane as he really is. And I'll bet you a lot of people don't even remember all of that. 4 years ago, so much has happened. He's been out of our sight for so long. And so I'm sure a lot of people don't remember. And it's not like you can play it and everybody's going to see it. That's not going to happen. Here's the thing. If Trump comes in there and abides by the rules, which, come on, what are the chances of that? Just follows the rules. That would help him tremendously. That would kill Joe Biden. It really would. Or for example, he comes in, that Trump, and starts lying, which everything he says is a lie. That's all he's got to do, is come in and lie. And then Joe Biden will be able to turn around and say, because Donald's microphone will be off. Although, again, don't count on anything. Donald could run across the room and start screaming. He could do anything. I'm sitting here saying things that sound crazy. Well, that's what this man is crazy. So let's see what he does. Let's see what he does on Thursday night. Let's see if he acts crazy. But see, here's the thing. It is very difficult to pin down all of his lies for a simple reason. He has told so many. You could spend an entire year in front of a microphone reading off all of his lies. You know, Washington Post had at one point called it, 35,000. And you could read them all off and then respond to which part was a lie. And I'm telling you, you couldn't do it in one night. It would take weeks. It honestly would to deal with all of it. But I got one for you. This is really a great example of what I'm talking about. And I know that at first glance, when you see this, you're going to say to yourself, anybody can make that mistake. But not really. Not really. Not anybody could make this mistake. Because you'd have to really lie. You'd have to make this up intentionally in order to tell this story. So let's just look at the story. First of all, Joan Rivers. I didn't remember what year Joan Rivers died. I did hear today somebody say that it was in 2014. I don't know if that's true. I haven't even looked it up. I know that she's been dead for a while. And I can look it up real quick while I'm talking to you. But, if it's been 10 years, well, it's been 10 years. Yeah, that was true. Joan Rivers died in 2014. So get this. She died before Donald Trump ran the first time. Forget the second time. The first time. She was dead for 2 years before the 2016 election. So here's what Donald Trump said, and this is just in the last couple days. And this really shows you what a liar he is. He was talking about Joan Rivers. They were laughing about her jokes or something, how she made certain comments. And here's what Trump said. He said, I talked to Joan Rivers directly. And Joan Rivers told me that she voted for me. Now, here's the thing. We know that didn't happen because she was dead in 2014. So Trump is telling you that he had a conversation with Joan Rivers. And actually, this is supposed to be, according to him, in 2020. So get that one. 6 years after she was dead. But even if it was 2016, Let's say it was 2016 and he just misremembered the conversation. That he somehow mixed up 2016 with 2020. So that's possible. A person could do that. So in 2016, maybe she said that she was voting or she voted for Trump. So we know that's not true either. Because we know that if you're dead in 2014, then you can't have a conversation with anybody in 2016. And, you know, if he said, you know, that there were a number of celebrities, okay, could work with that one. Get the wrong celebrity? No. In this case, he claims that he spoke directly to Joan Rivers, that he remembered it well, and that she said that she voted for Trump. So here's the deal. It's a lie. We all know it's a lie. We know it never happened because she was dead in 2014. Didn't happen in 2016. Didn't happen in 2020. It never happened. But you see, this is the thing with him. The lies roll off his tongue so easily. There's just nothing to it. He can tell you anything he wants. He can make it up. He can say, for example, because we all know this, every time somebody says something he doesn't like about him, it could be his best friend. And the next thing out of his mouth is, I don't know that person, never had anything to do with them before. That was some minor person that once did something in my circle, but I don't even remember. I mean, we're talking now about people like Michael Cohen. Yeah, he said he knew nothing about Michael Cohen. That Michael Cohen was just some random lawyer who did a few things for him here and there, but nothing significant. And you saw what the jury did with that. And they knew that Michael Cohen was a liar, historically. But they believed exactly what Michael Cohen said. No games. No nonsense. Straightforward. They believed him. Now, it's true that part of the reason they believed him is because what he said was corroborated by documents and also by people who got on the stand who were Trump friends. These were the people who Trump loved. And in fact, when they got on the stand and they talked about what happened, they said that they loved Trump. They didn't even hide it. If you recall, there were tears flowing because Hope Hicks did not want to tell what she knew. But she told because she's an American, as I've said before, and she followed the law. In the courtroom, you must tell the truth. Now, if you get in front of the American people at a debate, you can lie all you want, and Donald will. There's no doubt. So everybody's debating today, what should Joe Biden do about Donald Trump's lies? Well, I don't think there's anything to debate. I think he has to call Trump out on the lies. Now, one of the agreements that they've got, that is the debaters and CNN, is that there won't be any live fact-checking. So the moderators, are not supposed to grab Trump by the neck and say, everything you just told us was a lie, wasn't it? Now, journalists are supposed to do that, but these are not allowed because they made a deal. They would not live fact check. But Donald Trump can be fact checked by Joe Biden. And Joe Biden needs to do that. And I believe that he's going to do it. And the problem that Donald Trump's going to have in this is that his microphone is going to be off. So if it's Joe Biden's time to talk, and he goes down the list, because he's not allowed to bring notes, but he's allowed to take notes. So let's say he writes down five lies that have been told by Trump. And he says, this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one, all five, these are all lies. Here's why. Well, the only way it's going to get stopped is one way. And that's if Donald runs across the room and starts screaming hysterically. And by the way, I do think there's a possibility that he will do that. I mean, all you got to do is see what he did in 2020, which, like I say, a lot of people may not remember, but I'm sure it made quite an impact at the time on everybody. I mean, I remembered it the second I saw it on TV today. And the thing is, Biden has got to call him out on it. He's got to say, this is a lie. This is why it's a lie. And you need to stop lying, Donald, because this is what you do all the time. You lie. And he has to take every one and go right down the list. I'm telling you, Donald Trump can't restrain himself. There is no way that he can stop from lying. He can't do it. He hasn't done it in all the years that he's been running for president, and he was president. He has lied about everything. As soon as he opens his mouth, he's lying. He's been fact-checked on everything all the way down the line. But it is true that there are people who believe in him who will not believe that he has been lying. They won't accept it. If Trump says it, they believe it. It's that simple. And, you know, there was one clip that I did mean to give to Joe, but I didn't, because I've got a few to put up here this afternoon. But one of them, and I'll probably bring it tomorrow. I'll try to remember. But this was Mary Trump. And again, Mary Trump is Donald's niece, and she knows the whole history, and she makes that clear. She is a psychologist. No one has found that she's somehow a flawed psychologist. She's a real one. And she talks in this clip that's online about how Trump and his cult followers believe all these different things, but that Donald has been a liar his entire life. Now, his answer is, this is a relative who hates me because I took all her money and it was really mine anyway. Okay. I mean, you can believe all you want, and some people will, but you're not going to believe this one. I know you're not, because you're not that foolish. Whoever you are, you're not going to believe that Donald had a conversation with Joan Rivers in either 2016 or 2020 about who she voted for. Really, you won't believe that one, because if there's anybody who jumps on here, you know, comes up on the the screen with the comments, or you can call. And in fact, I'm going to set it up right now so you can call in and you can talk to me directly if you think you know better. And you can call 314-471-1968. And I've set it up now so you can call right in and we can have this conversation. And you will find that you will not be able to argue to me that Donald Trump ever spoke to Joan Rivers about who she voted for in 2016 or 2020. That conversation, there won't be one phone call. There won't be one person who will call in here and try to convince me of that one, because it's not true. He didn't have that conversation. He lied. It's that simple. He lied. So we'll see what he does when we get to the debate. But I promise you, again, my opinion, because nobody knows what's going to happen in advance, except for I could give you some good guesses. And I've been pretty much on track for a long time. I mean, there was a long time when people laughed and said, "Guess he's not indicted yet, is he, Kasin?" And I always said, "Oh, he'll be indicted." I'm talking 8 years ago. I said, "Oh, they'll get him. You know, there's a grand jury process and all of this takes time. This is our system. We give everybody their rights. And Donald has the same rights as everyone else." And as we've learned, Donald actually has more rights than anybody else. Because we all know that if you violated a gag order 10 times in a court case, you wouldn't have gotten to the second one before you were put in jail. And by the second, third, or fourth, you'd have been in jail for a very long time. And in fact, after being convicted, which he, of course, was, remember, he's a convicted felon. But while he was being convicted, remember, he could have been in jail, and then he would still be in jail. They wouldn't let him out. The judge would keep him in jail. And as long as he wants to mouth off, he would continue to be in jail. Anybody else in the United States of America, anyone, any former president, anybody who had done what this man has done and then was convicted would be in jail. It's that simple. And he'd still be sitting there. And then when the sentencing comes on July 11th, he'd be sentenced to jail for something that no one would be sentenced for, because, you know, we don't sentence people to jail when they do low-level crimes one time. But we do sentence people to jail and put them in there and keep them there when they are convicted, when they are totally lacking in contrition, and when they're attacking everybody in sight. So that brings us to Judge Aileen Cannon. What a piece of work. So Judge Cannon has already been eviscerated twice by the 11th Circuit in which she operates. And these were conservative judges, and appeals were brought to them for things that she did that were completely inappropriate as a judge. And in each case, she was eviscerated. Each case. Twice. Well, We're on the verge of the third time. And if it comes around to the third time, Judge Aileen Cannon is going to be removed. By the way, and everybody knows this by now, when Aileen Cannon became the judge that was picked for the Mar-a-Lago case with the documents, everything down in Florida, you know, there were three judges and it was rotating and she randomly got picked. Nobody on the other side, no Democrats, are out here saying that it was rigged. Nobody. We don't do that. We don't do that at all. She wasn't rigged. She was picked fairly through a random process, and that's the end of it. However, two of the top judges in that district, including the Chief Justice of the 11th District, went to Aileen Cannon and said, you should recuse yourself from this case. Don't take it. Let one of the other judges take it. Don't do it. And the reason that they did that was because they didn't think she had the experience for this. They didn't think that she was biased. They weren't even going there. They just felt she didn't have the experience for this case. And they said, no, move on. Let someone else do this. Recuse yourself in this case. Now, she didn't. We know that. And this case has gone on. And she, amazingly enough, including the two times that she was eviscerated by the judges, the 11th district judges, including that, she has gone on to say unbelievable things in the courtroom, things that were totally inappropriate. And on top of that, today, she is in the process of listening to a hearing that everybody agrees should not be taking place. It's a hearing on the gag order that's been requested by Jack Smith. So let's look at what this gag order is. Trump has called out all kinds of people in the Mar-a-Lago case who should not be even mentioned. People who could be in trouble for what he's saying, and especially since it's a lie. Here's the lie. I mean, again, these lies are amazing. But this isn't as good as Joan Rivers, but this is a good one. Trump says, I mean, I'm laughing, you know, who could even say this? That when they came down to get the documents, that Joe Biden had written a special order into the investigation telling the FBI to kill Trump. Did you hear what I just said? Now, you've probably heard this. You should have. He's been claiming it everywhere. He claims that there were instructions to the FBI to kill Trump. That when they went down to get the documents, that they should kill him. And Trump has cited the material that's in the order given to the FBI. But listen now, this is how foolish it is. It's the same order that was given to the FBI when they went to get the documents from Joe Biden. Exact same language. Identical. In fact, it's better than that. It's boilerplate language, but it's given to the FBI whenever they do an investigation, whenever they do an attempt to acquire documents or any evidence from anybody. It's in there all the time. It's boilerplate. And it doesn't say, go and kill the person. All it says is that if you are put into a seriously compromised situation where you think you're in danger, you do have the right to use physical violence. It's always there. Always. It doesn't matter who gets the order. It doesn't matter what is being investigated. It doesn't matter what documents or evidence is being brought back to the courtroom. It doesn't matter. It's always in there. Trump got his hands on the language, gets up in front of everybody, and says that the FBI was down there to kill him. And the problem, of course, with that is that you could have very, very seriously ill people who would hear that and then go and try to kill FBI agents. I mean, in our society, that is a danger. And so, Jack Smith this afternoon is arguing in front of Judge Aileen Cannon. Trump shouldn't be allowed to say these things anymore, and that they are dangerous, that they put people at risk, and they are requesting that that limit be placed on Trump's words. Now, understand this. This is nowhere close to the gag order that was set in the case either for Judge Chutkan to handle in that one or in the Manhattan case. Neither one of them was, I mean, the gag order in each of those cases was much broader than what Jack Smith's asking for. Jack Smith's just asking for these FBI agents to be protected. That's it. Every lawyer on television the last few days, and certainly today, on the day that this is being argued in Florida, every lawyer has said, this is so easy. No need for hours of arguing about this. Just the judge could have read this and could have just said, there's a gag order or there's not. But here is what's so interesting about it all. Knowing her, she would say, I'm not giving you a gag order. And then she would beat down Jack Smith for even bringing it up in the first place. She's done that. She's done that before. However, everyone says, and this is all of the legal people, all the legal scholars, all the legal experts, they all say there are rules in courtrooms. And one of the rules on this specific request for a gag order is that Jack Smith can ask for an appeal. And here's the danger. If Aileen Cannon rules against the gag order, this is going to go to the 11th Circuit, and they're going to beat her down for the third time. Because if there's an appeal, that court is going to protect the FBI. There's just no doubt about it. It's going to happen. Unless she backs down and says, yes, you can have your gag order here. But listen, This is a Donald Trump acolyte. So she could do anything. She could say no gag order, because Trump does not want a gag order. He doesn't want one at all. Yeah, he's totally against having a gag order. So if that's what happens and she refuses the gag order and he asks for an appeal, two things are going to come out of it. Number one, the 11th district is going to rip her. That's for sure. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, this is so serious, she'll probably be pulled off the case. So whether she understands this or not, I can't tell you. If she watches TV, then she would be very well aware that she's running the danger of being overruled and then removed from the case. So she may know that if she's watching TV. Or maybe she's listening to Donald Trump. And if she's listening to Trump and following his suggestion, then she'll get herself overruled and removed from this case. And I can tell you that this is not doing her any good for her future as a judge. Now, it is true that she's a federal judge appointed by Trump for life. So she's not going to be removed from the judiciary. She's going to remain a judge. She'll not be on this case anymore, but she'll remain a judge. And then the next thing is it wouldn't be good for her because, you know, she wants to be a Supreme Court justice. Just telling you. Everybody says it, and I believe it. Is it true? I don't know, but I believe it. She probably wants to be a Supreme Court justice, and she's certainly behaving in a way that will make Donald feel very loyal to her. So that would be simple enough. Refuse the gag order, be removed from the case, and the next thing she would hope is that Donald Trump can win the election and then appoint her the next time to the Supreme Court. And I say appoint her the next time because, look, if Trump were president, he would replace Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas, because the only thing preventing them from retiring at this point is that they certainly don't want a liberal judge to become a justice on the Supreme Court. They don't want it. Not those two guys. Not the guy who turns his flag upside down. Not the guy who is receiving unbelievable numbers of gifts, which totally inappropriate, unethical. You know, every judge on the court, all of them together, all of them together have received over the last 20 years about $200,000 worth of gifts. All of them together. And Clarence Thomas has received $2.4 million. And the best part of that is they are uncovering new gifts almost by the day because there are people digging into everything he's done. So I can tell you right now, Aileen wants to be on the Supreme Court, and her only hope is that Trump is president of the United States. And all I can tell you the next thing is, and she probably believes he will be, but the next thing is that she's probably about to refuse the gag order, which will make Trump love her and will get her thrown off of this case. So we'll wait. We'll see. Got nothing else to do, but we'll wait and see what happens. And she's going to make a decision like immediately. So yeah, keep your eye on TV. You probably want to watch MSNBC. Don't watch Fox because they'll be talking about the weather report on Fox. Okay. What I want to talk about is where you can get a great dinner. And of course, that's at Wendy's. And that's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And that's right in Chesterfield Valley. And I can tell you right now that along with that nice looking new slide that you see up there telling you about Wendy's, that's how great the food is at Wendy's. I mean, it's just the best. It really is. I mean, the food's excellent. It's a great restaurant with a great atmosphere. Your meal isn't rigged. Your meal is all fair. It's whatever you ask for, and they give it to you in the best way that they can. It's great food. You might like wings. Everybody does, except me. And if you like wings, you want Wendy's because the wings are great. They've got smoked meat. They've got hamburgers. They've got cheeseburgers. They've got patty melts. They've got everything you can imagine. Pizza. Good pizza. Great pizza. I'm telling you, the food at Wendy's is great, and you can go there any evening. Go there any time of the day, but, you know, for dinner, go there in the evening, Monday through Friday after the show, because you wouldn't, well, you could listen to the show in the restaurant, or you could go Saturday, Sunday. You know, it's all great at Wendy's. Great food. And don't forget, I left out, but I did that intentionally because I want to put it in on the end with some emphasis, and that's the baby back ribs and the onion rings. The baby back ribs and the onion rings are great at Wendy's. You can't go wrong. You'll love it. And I don't know. I don't have any guarantees, but it's possible based on my request that Ben will have the rabbi come in and you know do a little prayer so that I can eat there too. Now, I can eat there anyway. It doesn't stop me. Anyway, okay. Don't forget, Wendy's is in Defiance as well. Same great food. $29.99 South Highway 94. That's Wendy's Roadhouse in Defiance. Okay. If you want jewelry, the place to go is 4506 Hampton, and that is Jewels on Hampton. See, actually, I could probably trick Joe. I could say, that's Jewels, and then not say the whole thing. And then I'd have to see if he'd put it in or not. We'd have to test that sometime. But anyway, Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. And I can tell you, it's a great jewelry store. It really is. They've got cases and cases filled with terrific jewelry, very, very nicely designed and just good jewelry at great prices. 4506 Hampton, that's where it is. And in addition to looking at the jewelry that's in the cases, well, for example, you could go in and say, look, I would like this design. And they'll do that for you. Or you could go in and say, listen, would you design something that you think is the best because we've heard how great you are? And they would do that too. So, you know, they'll do everything for you. They'll buy and sell coins and jewelry at great prices because that's what they promise and that's what they deliver. And I can tell you right now, Al and his son, AJ, are great. They're always there, and they will help you any day. Not Sunday. They're closed Sunday. Okay, Jewels on Hampton. You'll love them. Finally, St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. You can see the suits on the screen. They're all nice. But what you can't tell is whether those are suits or whether they're sport jackets. Because one of the things that's happening today, when I say today, I mean 2024, is that people are wearing sport jackets instead of full suits. So you can go and do that. You can just buy a sport jacket. You can buy a suit. St. Louis Suit Company is completely up on all current fashions, and they will help you. but they'll certainly help you also with shirts and then the ties. Come on, those ties are the best. And I'm wearing one right now, a little different color than the ones I've worn lately, but it's got a blue, some blue tint to it. I don't even know what it is because I'm colorblind. But, you know, I sort of have a general idea. And I know that these ties are great. They're silk. They're top of the line. And they're $5, which is ridiculous. But, you know, Jay and Nick want you to come to the store. And so I guess this will get you there. Every time I tell people this and I'm wearing a tie and I show it to them and they say, no. And I say, yeah. And they go, where is that place? And I send them there because you can't beat these $5 ties at the St. Louis Suit Company. They also have overcoats at great prices because, you know, it's 100 degrees out today. So who wants to buy an overcoat? So it's a good time to buy an overcoat. It's the way it works. And that is at Forsyth and Central in Clayton, the St. Louis Suit Company. They've been there for 29 years. It gives you some example of how good they are, because if they weren't that good, they wouldn't be there for 29 years. And trust me, I'm not lying. I mean, it's not like, you know, they were dead or something, you know, like Joan Rivers. No, this is the truth. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Okay. So speaking of elections, here's a good one. Donald says that you should go out and vote for him right now. But he also says this, and I wrote it straight down from listening to him. So, you know, you can go look it up, but this is just in the last couple of days. And he said, in 4 years, I don't care what you do. You don't have to vote in 4 years. Just vote for me now. And he said, in 4 years, you do what you want to do. It won't matter because we're going to fix it. We're going to take care of it. What in the heck does that mean? We're going to fix it. We're going to take care of it. In 4 years, it doesn't matter what you do. You won't have to vote in 4 years. In 4 years, I'll take care of everything. So just vote now. And then in 4 years, don't worry about it. You won't have to vote. Not necessary. I don't care what you do in 4 years, because it's not important in 4 years. It's just important now. And don't worry, I'll take care of it. See, he adds on that one. I'll take care of it. What do you think he's going to take care of, you all? What do you think he's going to take care of? In 4 years, you don't have to vote. Do what you want. It won't matter anymore. It won't matter anymore. Why is that? Got a plan? Something we don't know about? Something that we should know about now? What kind of a statement is that? Do you know that there isn't a president of the United States in the history of this country, going all the way back to George Washington, under this Constitution, 1789 is when this Constitution took effect. And there is nobody, no president, that ever said, I don't care what you do in 4 years, you don't even have to vote, because I am going to take care of it. What the heck is this man talking about? I mean, I think you've got a pretty good idea. You can probably guess. But see, that's his thing. It's just a guess. So I can come up here and you can say that I'm unhinged and that what I'm saying is crazy. Because come on. Would Donald Trump lead an insurrection? Oh, no, that wouldn't happen. Come on, let's not be ridiculous. See, everything that he says, it's either a lie or it's, as they say, disinformation or misinformation or however you want to describe it. But I can tell you one thing. It's nothing that any president would ever say. And with that in mind, give me this one, Joe. Give me the orange jumpsuit. I like that one. Yeah.
What do you mean?
The picture that I gave you.
Today?
Oh yeah.
I didn't see a picture.
Oh, you don't see that one?
No, hold on. Oh, okay.
The one where he's in jail.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, just for fun. It's no big deal. But there's a there's a good point made along with the fact that he's in jail. It's got him sitting in jail in an orange jumpsuit, and it says, "It looks like someone didn't follow the Ten Commandments." I like that one. Okay, Joe, you can take that off. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah, what's the other one? Well, throw it up there. Let me take a look. Oh, yeah, see, now this is, you know me, I like baseball, but this is what we're going to do to Trump, okay? And it so happens, this is Jimmy Pearsall, if you remember him, a famous pitcher from the 50s, and a fan had jumped onto the field, and Pearsall kicked him off, and they dragged the guy out of there. Okay, that's good. That's good, Joe. So anyway, but that's what we're going to do to Trump. That's what we have to do to Trump. That we got to get him out of here because nothing that he is involved in makes any sense whatsoever. It's all insanity. And with that in mind, I would like you, and I've recommended this before, I'd like you to go online. Doesn't have to be tonight, but go online and put in Google Project 25 Full Report. Now, the Project 25 Full Report is about 900 pages. And so far, I have not read all 900. Now, it is true that I read all 448 pages of the Mueller report. And most of these things, you know, the 80, 90 page documents that are orders of the court, I read them. I read court cases, you know, all those things. Yeah, that's no big deal. You can read those in a very short period of time. But 900 pages, that's a bunch of pages. That's more like War and Peace or The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William L. Shirer. Great book. I mean, you should read it. And especially you should read it now because there's no question that there are so many examples of what was happening in Germany in the 1930s and 1940s that if you were to read this book, which I've read more than once, it's 1,000 pages. I've read it, like I say, more than once. I use it with students all the time, if not for the reason I'm bringing it up to you, but okay, I still wanted students to know about it, and now especially, you need to know what's going on, and the reason is because Project 2025 is absolutely unbelievable, and I happened to read over the weekend the entire section having to do with the Federal Reserve. And my only comment that I can make on this is that it was probably written with the assistance of one of the greatest economics quacks of all time, who I always bring up here, and his name is Stephen Moore. Stephen Moore is an economist quack on Fox, and all the right-wing nuts love to cite Stephen Moore when they have something that they think is going to support Trump. And believe me, it's lunacy. And if you read what he has written here, I'm not going to go into it. I would like you to read it. And if you don't understand it, then you better go take an economics course, because you need to understand this. You need to understand how our economy works. You know, you need to understand what the United States of America is. You need to know something about capitalism, which unfortunately so many of our people don't know what capitalism is. I don't know what they think it is. I really don't know. Because you know that they think that, for example, that George Soros is a communist. George Soros, who made his billions of dollars trading commodity futures. So happens he's also partners with a man named James Rogers. This is not Jimmy Rogers from, you know, the sausages. It's different Jimmy Rogers. James Rogers is a very famous economist, trader, not traitor, trader. He's very conservative. Now, we know that George Soros is very liberal. But these two are partners, and they've worked together for 50 years, and they have made enormous amounts of money buying and selling all kinds of commodities. That's their expertise. They buy and sell commodities futures. And, of course, George Soros is most famous because he sold short the British pound, and he actually pounded it right into the ground and made billions of dollars shorting the pound. And believe me, you don't buy and sell commodity futures, and especially currencies, and manipulate it. It wasn't manipulated, not at all. He just made a correct guess that the pound would collapse, and he just kept on it all the way down, and he made billions of dollars. And that's what happens in capitalism. No one gave him gifts that were unethical. In fact, he gives gifts to a lot of people, and everyone says that his gifts are unethical. Why? Because he supports progressive causes. As an example, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and you can trust me on this one, you'll probably believe it, is that George Soros is one of the biggest backers of DEI in the United States. He pours hundreds of millions of dollars into DEI. He believes that we should have a country that's diverse, with equity, fairness, and we should include everybody. Boy, that sounds awfully subversive. But in any case, Soros does support that. And in the meantime, Donald Trump has really forced a whole bunch of CEOs to cut back on diversity recruitment because Trump does not want black people working for anybody. And in fact, he wants to get rid of them. Oh, I'm just making that one up? Go check it out. Immigrants from Africa are poisoning the blood of America. Straight out of Donald Trump's mouth. If you don't believe it, go listen to his words. Because he said it and he believes it. And I believe this. For St. Louis Suit Company, for Jewels on Hampton, and for, come on. Oh, you're going to wait for me, huh? Wendy's. This is Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.